Hey, want a bit of good news? Donald Trump lost his own district. A special election in Florida. In Florida, what seat? What seat was it? Florida what? It doesn't say here. I actually forget. Florida, it's one of the higher-ups. Florida 6-7, that must be it. Florida 6-7, that's right. State House seat. I think it was a 14-point flip over to the left. This is the district where Mar-a-Lago resides. Emily Gregory, special election for a Florida State House seat. Very, very good.
Polls just closing in a special election race in Florida that's getting major national attention tonight. It's a Florida State House district that includes President Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort. And tonight, Democrats are optimistic that Emily Gregory could beat Trump-backed candidate John Maples and flip the seat. Now, the first numbers are just in out front, and they show that Gregory is in the lead.
That is a solid margin, man. Jesus Christ. I know that's not all the vote in. That seat was Trump plus 19 in 2024. Jesus Christ.
About 58% voter registration of the vote was R plus 10. Right now. And you can see polls are closed. You can see, though, we don't have all the results. But right now, the lead for Emily Gregory is 3,000 votes. And she is out front now. She is the Democrat running in that Florida State House special election race that includes Mar-a-Lago. Emily's a business owner, military spouse.
She APAC or is she good? It's a Florida State House seat. It's not federal government. You know, I don't think APAC is tossing money at state house seats, at least not usually.
And Emily, I know you're running for the first time for office. And right now, people may look at you. Where are you? You're in a car. You're on your way literally to your watch party. And you're seeing the same numbers we're seeing right now. Obviously, you're ahead. All the numbers aren't in yet, though. How confident are you right now that you'll win?
Erin, this is so kind of you to have me on. It's early, so we're feeling confident. What we're confident in is that we were talking about the right issues and we were, you know, knocking all of the doors and doing all of the things to get in front of voters and really hear their concerns. And we heard over and over again, property insurance, healthcare, and education.
Property insurance, that top of the fucking number one. God, that's grim. Dude, Florida is fucked. Florida's fucked. Florida's fucking gone, dude. It's over. Florida's so fucked. It's so bad over there. For those of you who don't know, Florida is so expected to be devastated by climate change that private housing insurers no longer operate in the state. No insurance company is willing to insure people's homes because the only reason you'd insure a home in Florida is for hurricanes. And that's not a good deal, you know? The insurance companies would have to be charging people like fucking $10,000 a month or something for that to even be remotely worth it. And even then, they might decide that's not worth it. So Florida has, I believe, the America's only state-run housing insurance program, which I'm sure is going to bankrupt the state with claims sometime in the next few years.
And that's what we focused on. And we're feeling hopeful for tonight.
So why do you think voters in your district responded to you and your campaign?
I think they responded well because I am from here. This is my home and I love this area. I'm from like 20 minutes north and I love South Florida so much. And I did not think we were getting the representation we deserved in Tallahassee. So I decided to get off the bench and make a run for it. And I'm really proud. I'm really proud of what we've built.
So President Trump run your district, Emily, by more than 11 points in 2024, right? So it wasn't really one that you would think a Democrat could come in and win. I mean, was he a part, his presence and Mar-a-Lago, all of that, was that a part of the race at all or not, as far as you see it?
For me, not so much. I think my opponent put it front and center.
How do you build stuff hurricane-proof? You can't. You can't, basically, which is one of the big, like, I think a lot of people are still operating on the assumption that humanity can just technologically outperform climate change, but we can't. You can't. There's nothing you can do to keep a city safe from hurricanes. It's not doable. You can't. It's just very difficult. No. The kind of like consistent Category 5 hurricanes that Florida not only has been suffering, but like is going to continue to suffer. The damage that these do is not manageable or sustainable. Like you can shore up a building, but even a well-reinforced building, if it's lucky, is still going to incur an enormous amount of damage. It's always water is what always gets you. Floods and hurricanes and storm surges, these things are just, they're you just have to not have them happen. You're not supposed to build in floodplains. It doesn't matter how advanced the technology gets, you're not supposed to build in the damn floodplains. You know? Build on stilts. I mean, you can, but it doesn't, it's just, it's not sustainable. The amount of money that it would take to keep that kind of operation afloat.
And I focused on the issues that matter most to Florida families. Everyone is feeling that affordability crisis. And the last thing that Florida families needed when they're struggling is $4 gas. So that is what I...
Well, let's see how they feel about $5 gas then, huh? Oh, we can bring those numbers straight up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't worry about it.
Spoke about, and that is what I talked to voters about. So it wasn't as much a factor for me, but perhaps my opponent focused on it.
You know, if you win, President Trump's going to be one of your constituents, right? That's the reality. Mar-a-Lago happens to be in the district, right? If you win, and obviously endorsed your opponent, we know that. But is there anything you'd say to him, you know, yeah, if you Nino's are coming the winner up. Here?
Not, man, not to mention, like, I think I already talked about this, but the recent heat wave in the American Southwest. You've seen what these charts look like. This is for the entire southwestern U.S. You take a look at that line and try not to shit your pants, okay? Holy shit. Numbers averaging from 1979 to 2025. There's 2026, baby. That looked distinct enough for you? It's only going to get worse from here. It's for all the Southwest. It's not like one city. It's not like we're talking an average for like a massive region of the planet. You know? It's not good. It's not good. Canada's the only place not getting hit by it. Well, good for them. Pretty soon that'll be a temperate country. Wet bulb temps are even more terrifying. Yeah. You know, it's getting bad pretty much all over. Meanwhile, over in the House of Representatives.
Friends, and that's why when you talk about climate change, I don't get upset about it. I don't get worked up about it, is because my faith is not in climate change. It's not in scientists dictating what we should and should not do to save the environment, because my faith is in Jesus Christ. Right? He's the same today, tomorrow, and forever, yesterday. And so, you know, if you've read the good book, you know how it ends. It's not with climate change. And that's my closing speech.
I wonder what her positions are on Israel and the building of the Third Temple.
I would be happy to have a conversation. And, you know, all 180,000 residents of District 87 are my priority, if I'm so lucky to serve. So I will put them all with equal weight.
And Emily, I want to ask you one other thing, just, you know, as you're talking, and I know, you know, you're a military spouse, and we're, you know, in a war now, there are thousands of troops heading to the Middle East.
I've heard about that.
How does all of this weigh on you and your family and those closest to you?
Shouldn't be allowed to be said as a politician? No, I agree. If you openly admitting, like, I'm okay with it, because what she's essentially saying is, like, I'm okay with billions of people dying and suffering. I don't care. Like, that should be prosecutable 100%. Yeah, I don't, like, yeah. Would you sacrifice Florida just to get rid of Mar-a-Lago? I'd sacrifice Florida to get rid of Florida. What do you mean? What, the cherry on top? Sure.
We, as a family, are very concerned about another endless war. I, of course, it's outside of the scope of the State House, but it does have personal ramifications for my family. So, you know, I pray for our troops.
Why is everything sloppy? This interview is so dumb. In fairness, this is a Florida House candidate on CNN, you know? Like, this is a local politician on national news. So this is like a very much a like larger spotlight, you know, being directed than would normally be the case. What are gas prices in Washington State right now? I don't know. Last time I filled up for gas, it was like $6 a gallon, but it's always expensive in Washington.
For our family, and I hope a resolution comes sooner rather than later.
All right. Well, Emily, I really appreciate your time. And as I said, as everyone looking at Emily, she's in the car right now in North Palm Beach. She's going to the watch party. And right now she is ahead. She is ahead by several thousand votes in the special election in Florida for the Mar-a-Lago district for the Florida State House. So, Emily, thank you very much for being with us. And Harry Enten is out front here to tell us something we don't know. And, you know, we
got
have
a lot of things to tell you
there.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Know. And Emily, you know, obviously, I gave the numbers, right? Trump won that district by 11 points, right? So she's...
My guy, Seattle's expensive for King County. Really? The city of Seattle is expensive? I wish somebody had told me that before I moved here.
Saying she didn't talk about Trump. We just got some new numbers. All right,
yes.
let's
show
okay,
them
let's
up, because
them.
I was looking at them.
How much ahead, Lindsay? Okay, here we go. All right, so
she's up 3 or 2.5.
She's up.
But look 99% at the percentage of the vote.
Wow.
Yeah.
99% reporting.
Yeah.
She that won means... by 3, so it was a flip like 13 points over because previously Republican had won by 10, something along those lines.
Very likely she is going to win in a district.
Yeah, 780 ahead. So yeah. Look, that's a tiny margin, but you can look at the votes, 99 in. This is looking very good for
very
Emily
good.
Gregory right
Correct,
now.
The Democrat.
Did he move to get ahead of global warming? You know, people joke, but like Seattle actually is probably one of the best cities in America for climate change. Like it is relatively, there's no fully escaping it. I'm not pretending that's the case, but relatively well protected from the climate shit that's coming, you know? Moderate summers, moderate winters, relatively. It's better than Florida, better than LA.
CNN projects Democrat Emily Gregory will flip a Republican-held state House seat whose district includes President Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort. CNN chief data analyst Harry Enden is with me now.
I've heard about this guy.
I mean, ouch.
How delicious for Democrats
delicious.
This morning. My goodness
delicious.
Gracious. They're waking up. Maybe they're going to get brunch at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, such an unflattering suit cut. Very feminizing. You know, you have to stick to the classic suit proportions. And what is it with the navy suit and tan shoes? Every time I see guys in Seattle's business district, it's the navy suits and the like orange shoes. I don't understand who told them you can't wear black or dark brown shoes.
Mar-a-Lago and say yummy, yummy, because this result will make their stomachs feel quite good indeed. Florida's 87th House District election margin. Sarah is laughing over there. Look at this. In 2024, Donald Trump won it by 11 points. Look at this swing all the way to the left. We got Gregory the Democrat winning it by 2 points in this state house special election. I will also note that they flipped a state senate district as well further north in the state.
Yeah, nice.
So double fun for Democrats in a state that they have been struggling with. Democrats have lost so much power in Florida over the last decade, and then they're able to win in Donald Trump's backyard. Democrats.
It doesn't really matter in the long run. When I talk about Florida not being a functioning state for long, I actually do mean it. Like, I genuinely, and you can say I'm being hyperbolic, but I genuinely think that there is a limited timer on that state. Not just on Florida. There are other parts of the country that are going to be relatively uninhabitable. But yeah, Florida, yeah, I don't know how long it's going to be able to hold up. Eventually, it's just going to be too expensive to maintain the infrastructure, you know?
Absolutely loving it this morning.
I'm laughing because you said that they were going to have brunch at Mar-a-Lago. Yummy, yummy. Really? Really? Is that what's going to happen?
Food is always on my mind because I intermittent fast.
Clearly. All right. How does this fit what we've seen nationwide so far?
Yeah, okay.
And so, it follows a trend, right?
Yeah, it absolutely follows a trend. Look, what is happening around Mar-a-Lago is not just staying at Mar-a-Lago. It's expanding out. I mentioned that other district of the state Senate district they flipped last night in Florida, but it's not just there. It's nationwide as well. Take a look here. Okay. The average 2025, 2026 special election so far. Democrats are doing, get this, 12 points better. Up like a rocket versus Kamala Harris's baseline in 2024.
This 12 points,
very similar to this 13-point swing that we saw right in Florida, right around Mar-a-Lago in the 80s.
And for what, oil money? Is it really just selfishness and greed? Yeah, no, the modern climate change denial movement was 100% spearheaded by Exxon and other fossil fuel company lobbyists who knew what climate change was and wanted to get ahead of the, you know, public concern, the big hype, by paying politicians to, you know, lie in the other direction. Yeah, no, it really is that simple. It's that evil, you know?
7th district. And I will note, I was counting it up. I believe that is about a dozen different special elections in which we have seen a flip from Republican control to Democrat control. So what is happening and happened last night in Florida is really emblematic of what we have seen nationwide so far, which is Democrats very much outrunning.
There's a great book of it called about it called Merchants of Doubt. I've heard about that, but I've heard people recommend that book, Merchants of Doubt. That might be a good read. I mean, it would make me sad, but that might be a good read. I'm recommending that. I've, people I respect have said it's a good book.
Baseline from 2024.
All right. How does this look for the midterms? Because you can't absolutely predict it, but boy, you're starting to get
you
some
can
real
predict
signs.
The midterms.
We are getting some really big signs. Look, part of the reason we look at this is not just because I love elections, which I absolutely do. I mean, there was a reason why I wrote in my high school paper about elections, why I watch old election night
videos. Do rich people become anti-climate change because they think it won't affect them, or do they actually believe someone can fix it? Wealthy people, I guess you could say members of the bourgeoisie, have bought into bourgeois propaganda, which is that society doesn't exist and the government can't fix problems. They legitimately subscribe to the neoliberal framework that all the government can do is provide reasonable frameworks around free trade to enrich the business class. But outside of that, the government can't really fix problems systematically. The only social solutions you can get either happen naturally of their own volition or through tech solutions, you know, some new factory machining part. But no, wealthy people, it's kind of like how people who live out in the suburbs don't seem to understand how cities work. Like, they stop believing in the concept of a community, of a social collective, not even in the communistic sense, but in like the, you know, an apartment building in downtown can be a place that people live rather than just a place you drive to on the weekends to give your shit children some toys at the local mall. Are wealthy people a monolith? No, of course not. Though the wealthier you get, the closer to a monolith they become, you know? A family that makes $500,000, $1 million a year isn't necessarily Republican. You know, they could be labor aristocracy. They could be a lot of things. They're probably well-educated. But if you're like in total worth like $1 billion, then yeah, you're probably a Republican, you know, probably a Republican.
As well, it is because they mean so much for power come November. Look back through the history books. Look back since I was in high school.
That's not wealthy. Well, making $1 million a year definitely doesn't put you in the in like the class of oligarchs that are fucking the country to death. I mean, certainly you're well off, you know. They're not really like the targets of the derision, though. Like, the country right now is not the way that it is because of people making $1 million a year. As much as $1 million a year is, and that's a lot of money. Those people should be paying a lot more taxes, but they're not, you know, they're not the ones like steering the ship into the you know, the rocks.
Look at the special elections and midterm results. When a party outperforms in midterm, special elections in midterm cycles since 2005, look at this. 5 out of 5 times, that same party went on to win the U.S. House of Representatives. The fact that Democrats are outperforming not just around Mar-a-Lago, but nationwide as well, is a very telling sign for the future. Look, sometimes history isn't always prologue.
How the Dems actually changed since Harris? Not at all. There's been no broader shift in the Democrats yet. Do you see LA or basically the entirety of the Southwest US being uninhabitable like Florida? In the long run, yeah, probably. You can read up on it, and I'm not like an expert on the subject, but Los Angeles and the American Southwest, at least some parts of it like San Diego, are very, very, very dependent on a very tentative water supply. Like, you get your water from the Colorado River, and you get that from snowmelt that goes all the way up to, like, you know, Canada. But the snow melt is decreasing year by year, and the water is already overdrained, and like the systems that bring the water, like the LA aqueduct, it's like, you know, fucking 100 miles or whatever. So it's very not sustainable, unfortunately. It's kind of something we have to put a lot of work and effort into maintaining. But if we run out of water, we run out of water. It's like the global oil price, right? Like, you can fiddle with the numbers as much as you want, but eventually you can just run out of water. And if that happens, it's really bad. Long run is in like 20 years. In my opinion, I think that I will live to see the mass depopulation of the American Southwest. I grew up there. I think that's very sad, as much as I hate LA. But I do believe that. Desalination plants are incredibly expensive and energy taxing. However, if we invested in solar energy as much as we should, we could do it for sure. Yeah. Like, desalination is the worst case scenario for getting your water, right? Like, you do not want to be relying on it. But if we invested heavily in solar, we could do it, you know. But I don't think that's very sustainable. LA has the money for one dog. LA does not have as much money. Money flows through LA, but much like the nation, the United States, money flowing through the country or city doesn't mean that the government has a lot to spend. LA is not operating with like a massive discretionary budget. Plus, it wouldn't be LA spending the money, right? Like, the water infrastructure isn't in LA. It's carried to LA. But we're talking about like a multi-state project. California is already, you know, implementing austerity policies to try to deal with its budget problems. Also, I don't know why we grow alfalfa in a desert. Watch the Climate Town. Is Climate Town right? Gas Town, Climate Town? What's the channel I'm thinking of? The guy who goes, hey, everyone. Climate Town? What's up, guys? Yeah, Climate Town. Watch that video. Very good. Great channel. Highly recommend. There's plenty of water. Half just goes into alfalfa crop for cows. Yeah, if we stopped with the animal agriculture, we'd be fine on water for a while. Yeah, for sure. For a long while. There's no national structure for water sharing across state lines, by the way. States have to make their own compacts with no federal oversight on watershed boundaries. That's so fucking cool. That's so efficient. It's okay. Pretty soon, there's probably going to be mass cattle die-offs anyway. The price of meat is going to skyrocket within our lifetimes, too. Another commodity that we could only really sustain through mass subsidies and a stable climate. The moment the climate becomes very unstable and the subsidies dry up, which, you know, we're running out of money on like every front, meat is just going to get more and more and more and more and more expensive, especially beef and pork. Chicken will stay cheaper relatively, but even that will go up quite a bit. Hey, happy to hear you like the pasta, Hatred Copter. Yeah, I know the water wars are coming, but can we focus? Well, we're talking about somebody winning in Florida, you know? But no, it's relevant. It's relevant to the future of Florida, right? Because I just don't think... Even if America taxed the wealthy as much as it should, I don't think the country could afford to keep Florida afloat in the face of multiple yearly Category 5 hurricanes, you know? Or God forbid, like Category 6s or whatever we're going to see. I don't really think it's possible. I just don't think there's an amount of money. You literally just can't keep the infrastructure up. You know? The only way, like, there are parts of the world that get constant hurricanes and don't have the infrastructure to deal with, like in Indonesia, and they suffer mass death, like casualty numbers that are unthinkable in the United States because we're, you know, extremely privileged. And also, their infrastructure, by virtue of it being underdeveloped, is also a lot cheaper, you know? Cheaper, faster to rebuild, but well-developed modern infrastructure getting hit year after year after year by hurricane after hurricane after hurricane, it's not doable. It's not doable.